pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your immutable truth. We thank you for the challenge and lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Page 8, we're going to do paragraph 5, 7 reasons for the resurrection of Christ. Paragraph A, Christ arose because of who he is. Acts 2:24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the birth pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held under the authority of it. And so no situation conceivable could be more abnormal than that the theanthropic person should enter the realms of death. He is the source of all life. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Now, this is not a reference to human life, which begins with human generation, but to that life which God is, from everlasting to everlasting. It is therefore because of who and what he is that he arose from the tomb. Paragraph B, to fulfill the Davidic covenant. In truth, no subject is more baffling within the range of prophetic themes to those who spiritualize the kingdom than the question why it was prerequisite for Christ to be born in the line of David. This is an extremely important point with which you're very familiar. David is key here. Jesus Christ fulfills who David really is. So, if his is a spiritual kingdom, he need be born, therefore, of no particular human line. The Bible does not follow a program adapted to human ideals. The Davidic covenant promised with an oath of Jehovah's that out of the fruit of David's loins, according to the flesh, God would raise up Christ to sit on David's throne. The footnote elaborates. Men, let me boldly speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore David, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him in 2 Samuel 7, verses 4 through 17, that from the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, God would raise up Christ to sit on his, David's, throne. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades or paradise compartment, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. That's Peter speaking in Acts 2, verses 29 through 32. So 2 Samuel 7:12. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. That is a Davidic prophecy of Christ. So David believed the covenant with Jehovah made respecting his earthly throne and kingdom. What right had he to doubt? And that is why he spoke of the fact, as recorded in Psalm 16:10, that Christ would not be left in the grave. Here is a prophecy from Psalm 16:10. Your father will not abandon my soul, that's David's, in Hades, the paradise compartment, nor let your Holy One, Mashiach, experience decay, namely corruption. That's the prophecy of the Messiah. Now, in the sacred text, the whole Davidic covenant program moves majestically on with subsequent revelations regarding it quite confirmatory. Other references include Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, Luke 1, 31 through 33, Acts 2, 25 through 31, and chapter 15, verses 16 through 18, and continues in certain prospect until it is consummated at the return of Christ, when he will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. This is the kingdom proffered by Christ in his earthly ministry and preached by his disciples. These prophecies dot the Old Testament. David is involved in so many of them, and it has come to pass in time in the first century AD that Jesus Christ fulfills the Davidic prophecies. Now, the same kingdom was rejected by the nation when they rejected their king. In the purpose of God, and to the end that redemption might be achieved, the Messiah must die. Of the various reasons here assigned for Christ's resurrection, it is now asserted that he arose because of God's oath to David, lest that be violated, as it would have been had Christ remained in the sphere of death. An oath given to David from Jehovah respecting Messiah as the one to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem bears no relation to a supposed spiritual kingdom. If the kingdom be spiritual rather than literal, what then becomes of Jehovah's oath? Of what import is the Davidic covenant? Everything blends together in Scripture. It's not a puzzle that is put together, but a sequence. It's all one thing. There are many subjects. There are 11 categories of systematic theology. We have heavy-duty doctrine in the New Testament. We have history, among other things, in the Old. But they all blend together to form one thing, which is the Word of God, and every jot and tittle is absolutely true. Even the things that are lies are truly lies. And everything that is said to be true, aletheia, is actually undeniably true. And you may count on both to be accurate. Paragraph C, to become the source of resurrection life. It was after his resurrection that Christ breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's John 20, 22. In like manner, every Christian has been born from above and received the divine nature when he believed, faith alone in Christ alone. So it remains only to declare again that the life which is thus imparted is the life of Christ in resurrection and not the pre-resurrection life of Christ. Christ is resurrected. That is the concept to which we apply in our salvation. We are resurrected in the same kind of body that in which he was resurrected. Ours is future, but guaranteed, because he showed that the body could be resurrected, not resuscitated. He literally died physically. He was not unconscious of things of that nature. He died physically, and when he came out of the tomb, he had a resurrection body, not a resuscitated body. So it remains only to declare again that the life which is thus imparted is the life of Christ in resurrection and not the pre-resurrection life of Christ. Now, it is on the ground of this truth that the Christian is contemplated as he is in the New Testament and already raised from the dead. Like Colossians 3:1. If you have been raised in Christ, that's positional truth, and you have. See, you have an eternal future. You may not think so, but you placed your faith in Christ, you have an eternal future. People die every day who are believers, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Same goes for you, with exception of the rapture, and we can't count on that. It's the next thing on the prophetic agenda for sure. But if you're banking on that, many moons have passed over the mountain since that prophecy came by. Paul thought it would occur in his lifetime, and that was almost 2,000 years ago. So if you have been raised in Christ, keep on desiring to possess and endeavoring to obtain the things above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4. Keep thinking objectively. Keep thinking objectively about the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's a mental attitude you need to have in the present moment of Client Nation America. Keep thinking objectively about things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. The earth is always in chaos. For you have died positional death, and your life has been hidden together with Christ by means of God on the occasion when Christ, who is our life, shall become manifest at the second advent. You also shall become manifest together with him in glory. When do we get our resurrection bodies? Okay? When do we all get our resurrection bodies? You get it at the second advent. There will be those in the tribulation that will receive their resurrection bodies before entering the millennial kingdom. So in fact, the believer is now blessed with all the values of crucifixion, co-death, co-burial, and co-resurrection with Christ. These great realities are his as completely as they were Christ's, since Christ wrought them as a substitute for the one who believes. In the most actual sense, the child of God has been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Thus it is written in Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 7. Although we all are spiritually dead in our transgressions, God has made us alive in association with Christ. For by grace you have been completely and permanently saved and raised up, and raised us up with him and caused us to sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For the purpose that in the approaching ages he might demonstrate his surpassing grace riches in generosity toward us in Christ Jesus. Paragraph D, to be the source of resurrection power. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came up and said to the 11 disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven," Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, "and on earth." Scripture constitutes the mind of Christ on earth. The Bible is absolutely true. All we need to know to survive in the hostile environment of the devil's world is found in Scripture. The rejection of divine thought in Client Nation America today is absolutely overwhelming if you didn't have Scripture to inform you that it is always so. It just gathers momentum at different times. And the momentum at certain times leads to the destruction of a given, let's say, area of the world. Client nations are not exempt. What you do with your personal life, as far as your spiritual life is concerned, is more important right now than anything else that is going on in this country. You are the invisible power that God can reference in order to control history on behalf of the pivot. How you think counts with him. And therefore, I would challenge you, at no point are you certified by any concept or idea to be afraid. You are inside the bubble. You need to stay there. The power of the Word of God is always going to be assumed by God to be a thing that needs to be aggrandized, protected, and therefore honored. He honors His Word wherever it is found. Be the source of resurrection power. Then Jesus came up and said to the 11 disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's the mind of Christ on earth, and that's you if you are filled with the Spirit and moving forward in the study of the Word of God. The power which wrought Christ is the power that is engaged on behalf of the believer. So that power may be directed in various channels, but it is the portion of all who believe. Romans 6:4, the resurrection of Christ is the measurement of power available for the Christian's walk in what is phrased the newness of life. Romans 6:4 reads this way, therefore we have been buried with him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit unto his death, in order that just as Christ was raised up from deaths, both spiritual and physical, through the glory of the Father who raised Christ from the dead, so also we might potentially choose to walk, potentially because volition is required, to walk, peripateo, that's wheel tracks of righteousness, in the cardia, in an extraordinary newness of life. What is the newness of life? To take human viewpoint and even establishment viewpoint and depend on that for your decision making and problem solving. These are things that may work on occasion but cannot be counted on explicitly on every occasion. Establishment viewpoint is important, but establishment viewpoint is under direct attack today as we speak. And there are evil forces out there trying to shut us down, shut you down, aggrandize the lie, and call it the truth. A new life principle, namely the walk in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, is extremely important. Paragraph E, to be head over all things to the church. When the resurrected Christ is combined with the church into one entity, the result is known as the new creation. When the resurrected Christ is combined with the church into one entity, the result is known as the new creation, according to Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 6. Although we all were dead in our transgressions, he has made us alive together with Christ, and then a parenthetical, by means of grace you have been completely and permanently saved. That parenthetical statement there is in Scripture. It's not added by me or anyone else. That's a parenthetical that is in the text. So it's inserted. So see how it reads here. Although we all were dead in our transgressions, he has made us alive together with Christ. How does that occur? Parenthetical, by means of grace you have been completely and permanently saved, faith alone in Christ alone. Verse 6, and the Holy Spirit was both raised up together with him. That's Christ being referenced here, the doctrine of current positional truth. Current positional truth is related to the believer's election and predestination. Election means we are in union with Christ at salvation. Christ has no battlefield royalty or family, but the church age had to be inserted into history to provide for him a royal family. Your royal family already if you believed in Christ. Wonderful attributes to possess and aggrandize once you get into heaven. Thus it is said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new spiritual species. Christ had two natures, divine and human. You really have a minor league version of that. We can't compare ourselves with Christ, but listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new spiritual species. The ancient things have come to an end. Behold, they have become a new species with the result that they will always be a new species. What does this mean? You are in the royal family of God. You have trichotomy. You have a soul and you have a spirit and you have a body. You have information in your soul that is absolutely overwhelmingly beyond anything in the devil's world and that it can produce. You are a member of the royal family of God. Your absence from the body and face to face with the Lord when you die, save the rapture. You are a special breed of people. You have power. If you have the power in your soul from the Word of God to apply in the hostile environment of the invisible war, you need to be a good soldier for Christ. And the good soldier for Christ is an individual who has the power of the word in his soul and is willing to apply it on a day-by-day basis, regardless of the circumstance. Stay inside the bubble. Fear is not an option. So as all that enters into the new creation is established on resurrection ground and is derived directly from the resurrected Christ, it is clear that he himself was for this cause raised and seated far above angelic spheres and made head over all things to the church, which is his body, Ephesians 1, 2, 20 through 23. And get that last one, head over all things to the church, which is his body. You are in Christ. That's the idea. In Christ how? Because of the spiritual association we have through the power of the Holy Spirit, his indwelling and teaching ministries. Paragraph F, on account of justification. Justification means an act of vindication. This is a judicial act because we're born under condemnation, being spiritually dead. Therefore, justification is an official judicial act which occurs every time anyone believes in Christ. It is a judicial act from heaven. You were taken as an unbeliever. You believed in Christ through the presentation of the gospel with the working object of Jesus Christ being the element that enabled you to have eternal life. When you do this and when you have done it, then you become someone who is, aggrandized as an individual still functioning in the hostile environment of the devil's world. You are aggrandized because you're royal family. You're aggrandized because you are associated with the God of the universe. You have power, but the power is found in the Word and knowing the Word and being able to extract that, formulate application, and then doing so with your free will. That's the ball game we're in. We are warriors for Christ and the Word of God. And you have to take on this challenge because it is therefore imperative that the few of us who are left and the few of us I personally therefore isolate as those who are believers in Jesus Christ and have made the march forward in inculcating divine thought in our souls. We are warriors. We do not have the opportunity to flag and whine and carry on. Yes, we observe what's going on and we don't like it. But what's new about it? Nothing new under the sun. It will be recognized that this aspect of resurrection truth is drawn from one text of Scripture, Romans 4:25, which reads, Jesus Christ, who has been delivered over to judgment because of our transgressions and was resurrected from the dead because of our justification. Dikaiosune, acquittal. We've been acquitted from what? Every sin you've ever committed. And we're good at it. Now this congregation here are professionals. And you laugh because you know it's true. You're professional sinners. You've learned how to sin professionally. But also you've learned that you can restore your order of the soul, by confession alone to God alone. And a lot of the things that we encounter today, you just need to back off and look at that and say, isn't it interesting that of all the client nations that have fallen in the past have gone through this same routine? There's nothing new under the sun. But there were those who were in the pivot, small as it happened to be, who made a stand for the truth. In the past, people picked up whatever their belongings were and moved westward. Let's go to another place. It's impossible for me to say the rapture is upon us, but honestly, there's nowhere else to go. I don't swim very well. I don't swim at all. So the next place is the Pacific Ocean. And when I used to go to the beach back in the day when it was available, I'd get about knee-deep. And if any farther, I'm in danger of drowning. So fear is good in certain situations. Know your environment. It is not according to sound doctrine to declare that justification is based on Christ's resurrection. I'll read that again. It is not according to sound doctrine to declare that justification is based upon Christ's resurrection. It, rather, is certain from the testimony of the New Testament that justification is based upon the death of Christ. That's the cross. Resurrection is the tomb. You're justified by faith alone in Christ alone because of what he did on the cross, which was to take your sins and be judged in your place. So Romans 3:24. Receiving justification, dikaiō, that word is vindication. Receiving justification or vindication without payment by his grace through the redemption, apolutrisis, the ransom paid by Christ's work on the cross, that is, in Christ Jesus. The ransom paid by Christ. He paid the ransom on the cross, not at the resurrection. So the testimony that sin had been judged at the cross and the judgment against us had been canceled emphasizes the saving work of Christ on the cross. It was completely accomplished before he died physically. Judgment was over on the cross. Faith alone in Christ alone appropriates that for the individual. Yet there is a sense in which it may be said too that since imputed righteousness is the divine reason for that divine pronouncement with justification, is and since imputed righteousness accrues to the believer on the sole basis of his union with the resurrected Christ. So now we get to the resurrection, justification at the cross. And so resurrection is justification. It is therefore true that justification is made possible both by the death of Christ and by his resurrection, and so both are essential. Conclusion. Salvation was accomplished while Christ was still physically alive on the cross. We find that in Romans 5:9. Much greater then, having now been justified, dikaiō, by the imputation of divine righteousness. That's powerful right there. Much greater than having now been justified, we shall be delivered from punishment in the lake of fire through him. Therefore, justification is a judicial function of God. Without compromising the principle of fairness in his justice, God is able to impute his righteousness into those who put their personal faith in Christ. Therefore, forgiveness subtracts sin. Justification adds righteousness. Forgiveness subtracts sin. Justification adds righteousness. This formula is expressed repeatedly in Scripture for the resultant salvation of anyone who believes in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the verses below, two key words are emphasized. The verb pistuo, to believe, and its working object, the proper masculine pronoun autos, translated him, meaning Christ. John 3:16. God so loved the world with the result that he gave his only uniquely born son with the purpose that whosoever believes, that's pistuo, in him, autos, Christ, the working object of pistuo, shall not perish, but have eternal life. What has gone on here? You've got a transitive verb here, pistuo. It means believes. Whoever believes, what is the working object? believe what? Do you believe for every drop of rain a flower grows? And on it went. I don't believe that. At a general rainstorm, there are just more raindrops than you have flowers. But people have a vacuous idea about things like this. The sun rose this morning, and I feel like I have a new life. Know you're a day older. One day closer to the grave. And then what? The working object is Him, autos, that's Jesus Christ. You shall not perish. You shall not perish. Where do you perish? Lake of fire. Shall not go there. But have eternal life. And so, very simply put, Acts 16:31. The word believe. See, we saw it in John 3:16. Whoever believes in Him. Then this verse. Believe, aorist active, imperative, pisteuo. It's a command. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Kurios Iesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus, the working object of the verb believe. Believe in Him and you will be saved. This is Easter. I've tried to take you through a lot of doctrines today, and it was rapid fire for 2 hours. Wanting to confirm the doctrines that are associated with this day. This day has to do with the resurrection, but there's some things that happened previous to this day that were just important as the resurrection, and it had to do with your justification because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. He took the imputation of all of the sins of the human race, and I mean every last one of them, not Aunt Harriet, who you hope dies in a fire. Not some of these politicians that you hope have heart attacks by noon. The deal is that you are in an environment that is fallen, and you have figured out a way to get out alive. And it's called faith alone in Christ alone. And there are doctrines that support that idea, and all of them are true. And I've tried to rapid fire get all of them across to you today, confirming and verifying and authenticating the validity of these concepts in Scripture, that there was a system, there was a process, and there was an intent. All the way back to David, it says in the New Testament, in chapter 2 of Acts by Peter, that what has happened is that there is now an occupant for David's throne in Jerusalem, which will occur when Jesus Christ returns at the end of the tribulation, sets up His millennial kingdom, and He will sit on David's throne. He's qualified to do so. I don't know if we get to visit or not. I expect to be chopping cotton on the back 40, but nevertheless, we will be there and happy to be there. So be pleased, encouraged, aggrandized, and happy as punch that you are a member of the royal family of God. You have an eternal future. And therefore today, as you go, wherever you go to celebrate Easter, just be happy that although in the chaos that swirls around us presently, that all of this at one point will come to an end because you have made the logical decision to believe in the working object of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. You have, because of what happened, let's say, last Friday, and what happened today, if we may use those terms, have guaranteed for you eternal life. And so therefore, you're now dismissed to enjoy your life. Have a great day. Father, we thank You for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things today. We thank You for Your perfect plan that was in gear in Genesis 1:1 and continued to progress forward into the invisible war, We are witnesses for the prosecution. We need to take seriously that obligation. And in doing so, it requires we grow in grace and have an inventory of divine power to apply in the hostile environment of the devil's world and then stand fast with the truth. May we be encouraged by these attributes as we move forward into the contest. And we thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.